welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we're able to be together again and share this time and the good things of the Lord. As I was seeking the Lord as to what He would have me share, He directed me to what I trust is a familiar passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, which is generally referred to as the Beatitudes. They are Beatitudes of a Christian. In other words, they should reflect the inner spirit of a real Christian. We're to walk after the Spirit and thereby not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so Jesus, when He was teaching on this subject, what it meant to be a real follower of Him, He described in detail the kind of attitude and inner life that we should have as His followers. So let's just take a moment, and if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to read along, it's chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Actually, I read that extra verse, number 10, and he goes on to talk about how our attitude should be when we're persecuted. But we want to be looking for today's broadcast and tomorrow's on just those first 9 verses. And the Beatitudes are not just pious platitudes or nice generalizations, but in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us a wonderful picture of what a real Christian is really like. And if I'm being a little presumptuous, but I think that perhaps every one of us have been guilty of assuming a familiarity with the Beatitudes to the extent that we don't really give them any serious thought because we think, oh yes, I know them. But we haven't really been reflecting on what they indicate, what they mean for our lives. And by carefully considering the Beatitudes, we can then measure our worthiness, how we're measuring up as far as wearing the name Christian, which means little Christ. The word blessed means so much more than just a superficial attitude or idea of happiness or material wealth. It refers to proper attitudes and actions that issue in spiritual well-being. So the emphasis is not on the blessing to be received. Rather, it's on the condition of the heart and mind that makes it possible for a person to experience God's blessings. Now, as we hear Jesus speak these words that echo down through the centuries, they were not directed to an unbelieving world. What was he saying? They were given in a teaching, learning situation to his very disciples. These inner attitudes don't come to us automatically when we're born again, when we are converted and brought into God's kingdom. So as a result, Each of us, as disciples, should sit at the feet of Jesus and listen attentively and responsively as he describes the inner attitude of an ideal citizen of his kingdom. All right, let's look at that first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew 5:3. And what that is referring to is a consciousness of spiritual poverty. Have you ever been just overwhelmed with a consciousness of spiritual poverty? Do you feel like a pauper in the things of God? Do you feel destitute as far as spiritual achievement goes? I know there are times I've felt that way. Lord, I've done so little for you. I remember that great man of God who's now with the Lord, David Wilkerson. I was reading in one of his writings that he felt that he did so little for the Lord. All he did was pray and prepare sermons and go to church, and that was pretty much all he did. And look at the lives, the multitudes that he affected. But he felt that he had done so little for the Lord. Or perhaps maybe you have accomplish some things spiritually. You have some spiritual attainments, but you may have some pride concerning them. And Jesus warned us in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, where there was a proper attitude of spiritual poverty in the person of the publican. Remember, the Pharisee was outlining all the things that he had done and just thanking God that he wasn't like that publican over there. But Jesus said it was the publican that went to his home justified. So Jesus used the role of the proud Pharisee to indict many of us for our self-righteousness and our lack of humility. What's the next beatitude? Jesus goes on to say in verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this is a great grief for sin and failure. The grief that Jesus here is talking about is not that kind of grief which is normally experienced and expected at the death of a loved one, but rather it's the personal grief that's the result of the awareness of the spiritual poverty referred to in the previous beatitude. Is there a sense of sorrow in your heart because of your own personal transgressions and failures? Grief over personal sin is a basic requirement for continued spiritual growth. We have to realize how we failed and be stirred with a desire not to make the same mistakes and the same fall into the same sin again. And to neglect Christ's forgiveness is to be overwhelmed with ingratitude and self-righteousness. And do we grieve because of the sins and failures of others, or do we find it easy to be critical? In this picture of the inner attitude of a real Christian, Jesus is referring to a condition of the heart that is described by the psalmist. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's Psalm 51 and 17. In this psalm, written after his episode and encounter with Bathsheba, he was grieving because of his sin, and this grief led to his confession, which made possible his cleansing by the Lord. The next beatitude in verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's talking about a meek and teachable spirit. Now, meekness is not to be confused with weakness. So many people sort of relate the two. Jesus is not encouraging an attitude that says, "Well, excuse me for living." No, that's not what meekness is. Meekness refers to an open mind and a teachable, humble spirit, which is essential if one is going to have the mind of Christ. To be meek is the very opposite of the egotistical know-it-all who has, you know, the last word on every subject and who knows everything. For those of you who might know anything about horses, there is in that realm, if you will, in that world, those who do enjoy horseback riding, horses have what is called a tender mouth, while some are talked about as being tough-mouthed. And those with a tender mouth are sensitive and responsive to the movement of the reins. And of course, that is the attitude, that kind of sensitive attitude toward God is the attitude of one who is in a meek and teachable spirit. All right, let's move on to the next beatitude. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 6. That's an intense hunger and thirst after righteousness. In order to be able to appreciate this beatitude, one needs to have suffered the pangs of hunger and the torment of an unsatisfied thirst. Jesus uses these two deep attitudes of life of our physical body to illustrate the deep spiritual hunger of a genuine disciple who wants more than anything to be right with God and relate in a godly way to his fellow human beings and everything. Beloved, we live in a world in which there's a tremendous hunger for all the wrong things, hunger for wealth, and an insatiable thirst for pleasure. There's a continuous struggle for success. Jesus declared in this beatitude that his disciples will be characterized by an intense hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and we're given a right standing before God on the basis of that faith, and that occurs when we're born again. But we need to always try to be right with God. In other words, we need to always bring every facet of our life into harmony with the benevolent will of God. Beloved, do you really want to be right with God? And not only are we to be right with God, but also with those around about us, our fellow humans. The real disciple will put forth a continuous effort to maintain right relationships with his fellow humans. The Bible emphasizes that we can't enjoy the favor of God if we mistreat our fellow humans. Isn't that true? Praise God. Well, my time is just flown by on this broadcast, and I'll conclude this on tomorrow's broadcast, and I hope you'll be able to be with me. But for now, I want to encourage those of you who may feel like you're isolated and all alone. Well, first of all, let me exhort you that the Lord is with you. He's with you in your trials and with you in your troubles. But there is a power in agreeing prayer, and that's why God raised up this ministry many decades ago in 1965 through my late husband, Reverend Neil Glass. And we faithfully have stood as partners in prayer with God's people since that time. So if you have a prayer request, if there's something you need to share that you don't feel comfortable sharing with anyone else, know that your letters are always strictly confidential. And I'll pray for you personally and earnestly, and send back whatever God gives. Thank you for listening. I love you. Thank you, UCM Partners, for all that you do in the way of financial help and prayer support. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.